D-Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, I'm glad you're on. I want your opinion on something we were just discussing. There was a column in USA Today written by Matt Hayes over the weekend with the headline, SEC downplayed Indiana in 2024 playoff race. Now Vanderbilt is Indiana. I'll read you a portion of the column, and then I want your reaction. Matt Hayes writes, quote, "A year after whining and moaning about Indiana's viability in the college football playoff race, after spending the entire offseason badgering the CFP selection committee into focusing more on strength of schedule, the SEC now has its own one-loss, historically lovable loser trying to crash the joint without a resume to show for it. Vanderbilt, meet Indiana 2024. Do you see any comparisons between last year's Indiana team and this year's Vanderbilt team in terms of its their resumes?
I see zero other than these are two teams that you have to rub your eyes a little bit and look close and say, are we talking about Indiana University? Are we talking about Vanderbilt University? Football? We're not talking about basketball. We're not talking about baseball. That's the only comparison. These are new people. Oh, I forgot we had Trevor on. What am I talking about?
Trevor, hello.
But you should have given, like, my teacher in the third grade. Willie, is your name Trevor? Trevor had his hand raised. Yeah. My bad, Trevor.
Trevor, please go ahead. Pardon Willie's rude interruption. Please go ahead.
So rude.
Live
Trevor.
Radio. Take two.
I was enjoying listening to Willie, though. Yeah, Willie's got a lot of good points on this. I think it is a good point to compare Vandy this year to Indiana last year from that standpoint, because they didn't play a ranked team. Indiana didn't in the regular season, except for Ohio State. They annihilated everybody but Ohio State and got rather blown out and dominated by the Buckeyes. And then they showed that they weren't really competitive with Notre Dame in the playoff as well. And this year, they're better on both sides of the ball. So you look at Vandy. Vandy quietly has one of the best offenses in the SEC. They're second to Tennessee in scoring points per game. Defense is much improved. It's about average, but average is much better than they've been on defense. They've been pushed around on defense. So they've gotten better there. Defense really rose up against Missouri last week to keep Missouri out of the end zone and put Vandy in position to win that game at the end. But I think it's a fair comparison. Now, when you look at quality wins this year, right now, Vandy's got a win over Missouri. They were ranked when they played them. I haven't looked at it here recently. But Missouri, very good chance, will finish ranked, which is something Indiana will not have had last year to have beaten a team in the regular season that finished ranked. So that's a good win. But either way, it's in some ways an interesting conversation that the rest of the schedule will take care of. Because they have to play at Texas this week, and then Auburn and Kentucky are not going to be easy games for them, and then they finish the season at Tennessee. And so if they are able to take care of business, and especially if they can, let's say they lose to Oklahoma, but they beat Tennessee, they'll be a 10-2 SEC team with wins over a probably ranked Missouri and over Tennessee, and that might get Vandy into the playoff at 10-2.
Trevor, just your early read on the matchup between Vanderbilt and Texas. Texas is favored at the moment by 1.5. I know that Arch Manning was in concussion protocol. I haven't seen an update today. It may be out there. I just haven't seen it. But your early read on the matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, early read is that this is good on good and struggle on, to some degree, struggle. The good on good is Vandy's offense against Texas's defense. Texas's defense has had its moments of head-scratching failures this year, but for the most part, they have lived up to their billing as one of the best defenses in the SEC. And Texas's offense has really struggled. And the biggest problem is not Arch at quarterback. The biggest problem is that they struggle to run the ball. Their offensive line has had to replace like four guys, I think, off of last year's team, including both tackles who were drafted into the NFL, one of them in the first round. And the guys that have come in to replace them have just not gelled. They've not come together. Plus some injuries at running back, and Texas as a running team has been, they've been weak. Let's put it that way. So Arch is having to carry the team. And I guess Mississippi State is a great example because they ran the ball weekly against Mississippi State, and Arch brought them back from 17 down to win that game. And, of course, he didn't throw the game-winning touchdown. That's when he got his concussion. And the backup, Matthew Caldwell, came in and threw a beautiful dime on a fade in the end zone for the game winner. But the point is that Arch has been playing better than people give him credit for because he's had to carry the team, just carry the team. And so, and he's been able to do it in ugly fashion, but mostly successful fashion. And so for Vanderbilt, you know, their offense is going to be in a tough position against the Texas defense. But remember Vandy's superpower. It's extending drives. It's converting third downs. They're second in the SEC and 10th in the nation at third down conversions, over 50%. And that's in part because Pavia is so good at making something happen on third and fourth down. And that plays keep away. It keeps the other offense off the field, and it extends drives for Vandy. And so, really, this game is going to come down to that because Texas still has enough great athletes to beat Vandy, especially in Austin. But Vandy has the superpower of keeping that Texas offense on the sideline, and that's what I'll be watching for early in the game. Is Pavia able to continue to convert those third downs and keep Arch Manning or whoever plays quarterback on the sideline?
Now, Trevor, I think Vandy does have one of the main ingredients, I think, that you need to win a championship. Not to say that they will, but I think they have one of the main ingredients or DNA. They are a team that can beat you either way. If you want to run the football, they can run the football, slow the game down, methodically move it down the field. We saw that against Missouri. I think they had like two or three series. It was the Missouri game or before that, the game before that, where they had 10 plus plays on three series, and they were able to capitalize on them each time. That was a few games ago. As I'm speaking, I'm remembering that was a few games ago where they dominated time of possession and they were able to go 10 plus plays and still score. So they can beat you that way, but they also can beat you with a one strike like they did last week. Hit, you know, the running back run for 60-something yards for a touchdown. So they had the ingredient, I think. And they, like you said, their defense is getting better. They had the ingredient to say win big and consistently. It's just that the SEC is so tough. Every week presents its own and different dilemma as far as who you're playing. I'm playing. But I did want to ask you about the coaches. Coaches have already been fired. You know, top of the list is Brian Kelly, and obviously Franklin before that. But there is $167 million to be paid out for buyouts with all of these coaches, starting with Franklin, me and Kelly, and ending with Jay Norvell. I heard Mac Brown say something a few weeks ago about these buyouts, and are they, you know, can this continue? And he thought maybe if you pay them more per year and make the buyout a little less, you will see teams moving away from coaches a lot faster. Do you think that's feasible to do?
I think it's feasible for the programs to want to do that.
Yes.
The problem is they've got to deal with the agents. Mm-hmm. And the agents are going to say, look, you want my guy to be your next coach. You want him to have a lower buyout. You're willing to give him more money now, but he actually doesn't want that. He wants to have a fair salary, and he wants a high buyout because he doesn't want to have happen to him what happened to some of these other coaches. And right now, Derek, it's such a microwave culture with college coaches because there are so many programs, and there are enough programs that make other programs look bad. For example, take a look at Texas A&M. So last year, Texas A&M and Coach Mike Elko's first season was not – ranked. This year, Mike Elko's second season, right now they're ranked third in the nation. Take a look at Indiana. So, Kurt Cignetti's in his second year coaching. In his first year, last year, they made the playoff. This year, Cignetti's second year as head coach, they're ranked second in the nation. And so, if you are Penn State, you're looking there going, look, those guys can do it. They can do it quickly. We have all the resources everybody else has. Certainly have all the resources that Indiana has, and yet we, under James Franklin, are not getting to that elite level. And what you end up having happen is the donors will say to the administration, look, we'll keep kicking in money for NIL, but it's being wasted right now with this guy as head coach. So if you keep him, we're going to close the checkbook until you replace him. You know, it used to be that you would donate $1 million. It would go towards a building. You'd have your name on the side of the building. And for the rest of your life, you could drive your grandkids by it and say, hey, see that plaque? That's our family. We helped build that. But now you pay $1 million for this year's quarterback. Doesn't work out, you pay $1 million for next year's quarterback. Doesn't work out, you keep doing it. And it didn't take long for the donors to say, hey, we want them out of here. And A&M, second year under a head coach, ranked third in the nation. Indiana, second year and a head coach, ranked second in the nation. Texas Tech, with one massive NIL infusion, went from being an also-ran to being one of the best teams in the Big 12 and certainly one of the better teams in the country. So Vanderbilt, for goodness sake, it took Clark Lee a little bit longer. I think this is, what, his fifth year or so? But he's got Vandy now at, top 10. So now you're LSU, and your three previous head coaches all won the national championship within their first 4 years. Ed Orgeron, Les Miles, Nick Saban. And now you've got the fourth year of Brian Kelly, and Kelly's team right now is nowhere near competing even for the SEC, much less national champion. And they're looking around the rest of the landscape of college football, and they're saying, okay, it can be done. It can be done quickly, especially here with our resources. But what it also says to the next coach is, you better win. You better win quickly, or you're gone, which brings us full circle to your point, Derek, which is a good one. They know that if they are very good, they're fired. Mm-hmm. They've got to be elite in order to not get fired. And so they're going to want to make sure that they've got guaranteed money out the door if they put themselves in that risky position.
It's a fascinating topic, and it's changing every week. We were just talking about how quick you go from being number one or number four to fired mm-hmm. 5 weeks later. So there was a good discussion, Trevor, on game day on the Vanderbilt campus where the guys were kicking around. What does a coach do to try to protect himself or give himself a little bit more control on things that are getting harder and harder to control, like the NIL and where's your money coming from? Do you think it'll be something that people find out more about and get better at handling that part, or are we just getting started with the chaos?
Yeah, Willie, it's a good point, because you don't get to fight the battle you want. You have to fight the battle you're in. And this current regime of NIL and you can transfer as much as you want is unsustainable, and it will change as we get new laws coming down and new protocols being imposed on college football. But for now, this is what we got. And so head coaches need to not complain that their best players are being poached. They need to not complain that bringing in a bunch of transfers hurts chemistry and you have to get the chemistry. You need to be better at functioning at the highest level under those circumstances than the people you're competing with. And that really is where we are right now, because old school coaches are really struggling if they don't adapt very quickly to the new paradigm. So they're thinking, okay, here I am. We're going to build from within. We're going to develop freshmen. We're going to bring in a few transfers, Dabo Sweeney, to fix things, plug holes. But then we're going to take the time we need to do to develop the program and do it right. Well, maybe that will work if your donors are patient enough to kick in all these millions of dollars year after year after year and see no success while they look around the corner and they see other teams having success right now. And that's why the coaches need to just say, okay, you know, I need to fight the battle I'm in. And the battle I'm in is I got to win right now. So how do I do it? And truthfully, if I'm any coach in college football, the first thing I do in the offseason is I drive to Bloomington, Indiana, and I ask Kurt Cignetti how he does it. Because it's not just bringing in players, it's also molding them into a cohesive team, and I would want to know how he does both.
Trevor Matich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday, and he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Hey, thanks, Adam. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Trevor had to say. We'll take your thoughts on Vanderbilt and the landscape of college football. 615-737-1025. A reminder, Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock live here at Barrel House. 615-737-1025. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick is presented to you by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think. With Bax Homeworks, get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com.